Scripture reading this morning will be from Proverbs 23, verses 12 through 17. If you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you beat him with the rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from Sheol. My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad, and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. You may be seated. Please pray with me. Oh Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, you have blessed us abundantly. Lord, we deserve none of it. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us. Lord, we, although because of our sin, we often are proud and don't want to be taught, yet, Lord, we recognize our desperate need of you and to be taught by you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would teach us this morning, Lord, that your truth would go forth. Lord, I pray that you would protect everyone from my sin and my error. Lord, that you would bless from your word this morning. Please work your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever wished that God would give you something really important to do? I mean, I don't know about you, but so often I read through Scripture and I see all these testimonies of men and women of the faith and how they were used in a powerful way by God. And that's what I want, you know. I read through there and I want God to use me, to give me something important to do. For God to give me something to really make a difference. Well, the truth is that God uses us in different ways, in different stages in our lives. And one of the most important, one of the most influential roles that we will ever play here on earth is being parents to our children. Being parents to our children. So if you're a mother or a father this morning, this message is for you. And many of you who are not yet mothers or fathers will, by God's grace, be mothers and fathers someday. And so this message is very much for you as well. The title of the message is The Heart of Parenting. The Heart of Parenting. Now, this is certainly in no way a thorough look at parenting. There are many important parenting principles that are not in this text that we're not going to look at today. So this really isn't the whole puzzle. This is just a few pieces. But even in looking at these few pieces, we can see clearly what the heart of parenting is all about. But before we go through these verses in Proverbs, first I want you to look at an example of parenting in Scripture. This example that shows the heart of parenting. So turn with me, if you would, to Job. Job chapter 1. I'll just read the first five verses here. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. And seven sons and three daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day. And they would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And it came about, when the days of feasting had completed their cycle, that Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. Well, here we see in this verse, or in these verses here, Job was a very wealthy man. I mean, who could argue that he has provided well for his family? It listed all of his livestock. He was one of the greatest men of the East, it said. And yet we see here in these verses that Job did not view his job as a father as complete. He didn't think that his job was done. He had provided well, they were well cared for. No, he wasn't content with that. You see, he knew that his children had far greater needs than their physical needs. And so he didn't want to neglect those most important needs, their spiritual needs, the needs of their heart and soul. Also, it wasn't that he was prompted to offer these offerings because he could see clearly that they were acting in disobedience against God. It was that he knows the sinfulness of man and our sinful hearts, and that he loved and cared so much for the souls of his children. You see, he understood that outward obedience and good behavior is really worthless if your heart is not right before God. Certainly, as parents, we will deal constantly with outward behavior of our children. But even in all of that, our focus needs to be on their hearts. More than anything else, our children need Jesus. So the heart of parenting. The outline, number one, is apply your heart to discipline. Number two, teach their heart through correction. Number three, good fruit rejoices the heart. And number four, guard your heart. So number one, apply your heart to discipline. Verse 12. Apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge. Here in this verse, not only are we encouraged to see the great value in discipline and instruction, but we're also taught here to fully apply ourselves to instruction. Now, before we look at this verse, because the sermon is about parenting, I just want to make it very clear here in this verse. I don't want you to take it the wrong way. Yes, it's true that we want our children to apply their hearts to discipline and to the words of knowledge. But this is speaking to us as much as it is to them. We as parents need to apply our hearts to discipline and to words of knowledge. Well, what is meant here by discipline and words of knowledge? These are the instructions of what is good and right, instructions in faith and practice. Certainly, the primary source for these things is the Word of God. We should apply our hearts to the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17 says, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." You see, the Bible is the inspired Word of God. It is profitable for all these things. And so the Word of God must be the meat and potatoes of our diet. The Word of God. So what does it mean to apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge? Well, first of all, this requires humility. Like I said earlier, we're proud of heart. Why apply my heart to these things? I know enough about them. No, we must be humble. We must acknowledge our need of these things. We need instructions. We need corrections in life. So humility is key. But what does it mean to apply your heart to discipline? Does it just mean to read your Bible and go to church? No, it's much more than that. To apply your heart is more than just reading your Bible or keeping a chair warm. It's really being all in. It's longing to learn with the affections of the heart, not just going through the motions, not just sitting there and being quiet and sitting still and facing forward. It's really an active pursuit, being engaged, pursuing growth in wisdom and understanding. It's purposely and passionately pursuing God and His ways. Again, this isn't some half-hearted desire that you have to know more about something. One of those desires that, you know, if I had more time, when I'm all caught up on my sleep and I don't feel so tired, well, then I'll pursue these things. No, this is a priority in your life. This is something you make time for. It's loving the Lord with all your heart and soul and strength, striving to know Him better, desiring to serve Him better. Now, this is completely unnatural. You see, it's not mentioned here in these verses, but it's true that fallen man does not desire discipline or words of knowledge. It's completely unnatural to fallen man. The end of Proverbs 1:7 says, "Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Despise wisdom and instruction. Certainly, natural man applies his heart to many things, but not to wisdom and instruction. So it's by God's grace, His regenerating power, that any of us would love Him and would apply our heart to His wisdom and instruction. God changes our hearts. He changes our appetite, if you will, so that instead of desiring to eat that nasty pig slop of sin, instead, we hunger and thirst for righteousness, for true food and drink that only He supplies. So let's not think that this verse is all about man's determination and not about the grace of God in our lives. As parents, certainly it's our job to correct our children and to work on them and to train them and instruct them. But we need to first look at ourselves. We need to first consider ourselves. Look at this verse and ask yourself, am I applying my heart to discipline and knowledge? Or am I pursuing other things? Not that these instructions are given to us for the purpose solely of parenting, but it certainly does affect our parenting. If we're pursuing our own pleasures, but teaching our kids to pursue discipline and knowledge, it won't work. They will see right through our hypocrisy. We must live out our faith, passionately pursuing the things of God. More is caught than taught. If we tell our children that God is everything, that His Word is important, and so we should, for example, we should get up every morning and read our Bibles, seek the Lord in prayer, and then we sleep in. More is caught than taught. They are learning more from watching us than from what we teach them. If we teach them that they need to be humble, that they need to be teachable, and then they see us not wanting to listen to correction when we're wrong. You see, children are not dumb. They live with us. They know us better than anyone. They know from our actions what mom and dad are applying their hearts to. Is it discipline and the words of knowledge, or is it other things? Here in this verse, as parents, we should be encouraged. You know, as we're teaching our children to follow the Lord, we should be encouraged here not to lose our priorities and neglect following the Lord ourselves. Apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge. Number two, teach their heart through correction. Verses 13 and 14. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you beat him with the rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from Sheol. Here we see the need that children have of discipline, of being corrected. And we see the benefits of being disciplined by their parents. Now, there are parts of our society that has completely rejected this wisdom. Some have taken the position that inflicting any pain upon a child is unloving and abuse. But that's an unbiblical position. It's a position that's really claiming that man is wiser than God, that man is more loving than God, more merciful. And certainly rejecting God's wisdom has consequences. But as we look at what is taught here, you can see clearly that this is not speaking of an abusive parent harming their child. This is a loving parent blessing their child. The first instruction we have here in verse 13, do not hold back discipline from the child. You see, we're all sinners. Children are sinners. And they, at times, will do what's wrong. They'll do what they know is wrong, and they need corrected. And so we're told here not to hold back discipline from the child when he needs it. Don't just let it go. In other words, it would be wrong. It would be unloving for us to hold back discipline from a child when he needs it. So what is this discipline that a child needs? Is it more instructions? Do we need to lecture them more? Is that what this is speaking about? No. What does the child need? There are times when a child needs to be beaten with a rod, it says. So this is not a verbal lecture. This is not a reminder for the 100th time. Now, certainly this language may sound harsh. Although you beat him with a rod, that may sound harsh. But there's great moderation communicated here. It says, although you beat him with the rod, he will not die. You see, this beating is in no way physically threatening to his life. This is in moderation. This is not speaking of inflicting serious bodily harm on a child. A rigorous beating of a child not only does not fit with this verse, but it doesn't fit with all of Scripture and our need to care for and love those who are weak, especially children. So this discipline is not abuse. It's speaking of moderate physical discipline. While it certainly does involve minor temporary pain, the whole point of verse 13 is that this discipline is not bad for the child. It's not bad for them. It will not seriously hurt them. Therefore, we should not be afraid to use it on a child when needed. But then we see in verse 14, it goes even further. Not only is it not bad for the child, but it's actually good for them. You shall beat him with the rod. Not only is this discipline does not end his life, it preserves his life. It doesn't cause his death, it prevents his death. We see here at the end of verse 14, we see the eternal perspective here. You see, there's more going on than just correcting his outward behavior. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from Sheol. King James Version uses the word hell here. Well, this changes everything. I mean, children and parents alike, neither of us enjoy physical discipline. But what is a little bit of minor pain today compared to an eternity of torment in hell? A few things I want to make very clear here, though. This is not saying that a parent can save their child. That is not the case. Repentance. Repentance is the real issue here. When a child sins and their parents discipline them, the main goal in this physical correction is to bring the child to repentance. Yes, we're working on our children's behavior, but we're more interested in the hearts of our children. They are foolish and sinful. They demonstrate with bad behavior their sinfulness before us. And here we are instructed to use physical discipline. Why? Because we hate them? Of course not. Because we love them. We don't want them to continue on this sinful path that leads to hell. Are we just wanting their actions to change? No. Ultimately, we want God to change their heart, to show them the sinfulness of their hearts, to bring them to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. You see, a little physical pain can be a great teacher. God can use the discipline of loving parents to bring their children to repentance, to change the course of their entire life. And as parents, that should be our prayer in all discipline of our children. Now, is physical discipline all our children need? Of course not. But as parents who love our children, who want nothing more for our children than for their sinful hearts to be right with God, that they would trust in Christ, we would be wise not to neglect this wisdom of God in the training of our children. Physical discipline is part of God's good plan for raising children in the fear and instruction of the Lord. So do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you beat him with the rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from Sheol. Number three, good fruit rejoices the heart. Verses 15 and 16. My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad, and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Here we see the great joy that is experienced by parents when they see the good fruit in their children. This verse shows us, first of all, the heart of good parents. You know, as parents, we want what's best for our children, and we want them to be comfortable. We want them to be well-fed, and we want all of the good things in life for them. We want them to be successful in every way. And yet none of these things matter to us. Anything like the condition of their heart. Parents care deeply for the hearts of their children. And we rejoice. It thrills our heart when the hearts of our children are wise, when God brings them to faith in Christ, when He opens their eyes to the sinfulness of their heart and brings them to repentance. You see, this isn't speaking about a child acting better on the outside when their heart is still full of sin. This is speaking of a child whose heart has been changed by God. And nothing could make a parent happier. 3 John 1:4 says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in truth. Oh, this is so thrilling to the hearts of parents, to see their children walking in truth. Then we see in verse 16, it shows us some of this fruit of a heart changed by God. They speak what is right. You see, we know that out of the mouth pours forth what it overflows out of the heart, from what's in their heart. You know, as parents, we're always teaching our children, and we speak to them, And certainly we're encouraged by seeing their heads nod and them saying, yeah, I agree. And yet we continue and we pour forth instruction and we teach them and we admonish them and we correct them. And yet what a blessing it is not just to see their heads nod in agreement, but to hear them with their own mouth, in their own words, speak what is right. We see the fruit. What a blessing it is. What a joy. My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad, and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Number four, guard your heart. Verse 17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Now understand, so the hearts of your children are wise. So let's say they come to Christ. They come to Christ. Praise the Lord. It's all over with. We're done, right? I mean, we, as parents, we can just, I mean, we just retire, right? No, not at all. We've still got work to do. There's still sin. Our children still need protected. And so here we see in this verse our need of constant care and protection. We still have sin in our hearts. We still have sinful desires. And again, this instruction is not only for parents protecting the hearts of their children, but we all must guard against sin. But certainly as parents, we want to guard the hearts of our children. We want to continue on even after they have come to Christ. We want to continue on guiding them and protecting them. And so we see here the temptation is, again, it's a heart issue. God's working on the hearts of his people, but we're not perfect yet. We're not sinless. And so we must continue to guard against sin, guard against the temptations of this life. So the temptation that we're warned of here is that of envying sinners. You see, there's going to be times in your life that you see sinners and you want what they have. Something about it looks appealing. Maybe it's the sin, maybe it's the rewards that it looks like they're getting. And this is the temptation that we see here. But whenever you have these temptations, whenever you see yourself beginning to envy sinners, fight that battle in your heart before it ever gets to following their paths. Don't let yourself envy sinners. Remember, sinners, their pleasures are fleeting. Their destruction is coming. Don't envy sinners. Guard your heart. Live in the fear of the Lord always. When you're tempted to sin, fear God. In many ways, it seems so ridiculous, doesn't it, that we would envy sinners? I mean, we who have been blessed in all ways through Christ. What does a sinner have that we would be envious of? And yet, because of the sinfulness of our hearts, We at times envy sinners. It's crazy. But this is our foolishness. This is how sinful we are. They have nothing that we should desire. But we should fear the Lord. This fear of the Lord, this isn't just being afraid of what God is going to do to you if you follow their steps and you walk in sin. But fear the Lord. Walk in the fear of the Lord. Live in reverent awe of Him. Love Him, trust Him, delight in Him. You see, our focus should be on the Lord. What the sinner has and what he's doing, what does that matter? We're focused on the Lord and what He has done and what He has for us to do. We don't need to waste our thoughts on what the sinners are doing and envying them. But these temptations are real for us. And they're real for our children. And so here we're warned to guard our hearts from being envious of sinners. They are not the blessed ones. The children of God are the blessed ones. So may we love the Lord and live in fear of Him always. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. So in conclusion, as parents, there will always be distractions. There will always be obstacles. There will never seem to be enough time or enough strength. But press on. Press on. Care well for the hearts of your children. We've looked at a few parts of parenting here this morning. Discipline, correction, protection, rejoicing. Certainly there's many more. But I pray that in every part of parenting that our focus would be on the hearts of our children. The hearts of our children. That the challenges of today would not distract us from the realities of eternity. What do our children need? What do our children need? Certainly the list is long. But what's at the top? The needs of their heart. They need Christ. They need Christ. It's so easy for us to get caught up in the moment and to lose sight of the hearts of our children. It's so easy for us to get hung up on this, on little details. And I'm not saying details aren't important, but we've got to keep in mind the needs of their heart. What do you want to accomplish in raising your children? Is the goal just to keep them healthy and happy? Our children are sinners. And one day they are going to die. And they're going to go to hell if Christ does not change their heart. Are you working on their heart? At the end of the day, no one ever says on their deathbed, "I wish I'd played more golf. I wished I just hadn't spent as much time as I did with my kids." No one says that. But don't waste your time. These are important things. May God give us a heart for the hearts of our children. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for the blessing of children. Lord, in many ways, we know we are not adequate parents. Lord, we know that we fail in many ways. But Lord, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us with children. Lord, we pray that you would turn the hearts of fathers back to their children. Lord, that we would not get caught up, get distracted by all the other things in life. Lord, that you would help us to manage well all of the priorities and all of the issues in life that we need to deal with. Lord, we understand that we can't just put everything else aside and just be parents, but we have other responsibilities as well. Lord, we pray that you would help us to navigate those paths as we seek to prioritize well, as we seek to honor you in being good parents. Lord, we just pray for the hearts of our children. Lord, we ask that you would save them. Lord, that you would show them their sin and bring them to repentance and faith in you. Lord, we pray that you would give us wisdom in every conversation, in every circumstance, in every interaction. Lord, that we would be concerned more for their heart than for their outward obedience. Lord, we pray that you would bless, that you would save your people. Lord, we pray that you might grant us, as we read in these verses, the joy of seeing our children walk in truth, of hearing them speak what is right. Oh Lord, you deserve all the glory. Lord, we do pray that you would help us to be faithful servants. Lord, that we would serve you well in loving and training our children, all for your glory. We pray, Lord, that we would seek Christ and that you would bless, that you would help us in working on our children, that you might change their hearts, that your will would be done, Lord, in all things, that we would focus on you. In Jesus' name, amen.